It's now my pleasure to ask Brother Josh to give us the word of exhortation.
Good morning, everyone. If I were to ask you to describe your character or yourself using only one word, which word did you think of? If I were to go and ask someone else in this room to describe you as yourself or your character using only one word, what word do you think they would use to describe you? Would their word to describe you be the same as yours, which you thought of, or completely different? Might they say you were kind, hard-working, funny, annoying, helpful, maybe even compassionate? Would you even agree with them? I'm sure you're now thinking of some characteristics which you feel represent you as a person, or maybe even concerned about what your partner or your friend might say about you. However, I did try this with Sarah the other day, and I texted asking, could you just describe me in one word? And I thought she'd come back with loving, caring, maybe affectionate. But I got the word back, one word, sarcastic. So I'm sure it can't get any worse than that. As many of you are aware, I am a secondary school teacher, and I asked these exact questions to my tutor group as a task I was asked to set. The school which I work in is implementing a scheme called the LORIC values. LORIC for the school stands for leadership, organisation, resilience, initiative and communication. The school asks for us as the teachers to provide activities which helps them learn the content, but also helps them to improve these characteristics also. So in theory, when they leave in year 13, they can be classed as well-rounded citizens of maybe members of society with those skills. So when teaching these LORIC values and explaining to students how they need these values for everyday life, it got me thinking towards how our character should be as followers of Christ. However, when asked the questions at the start, did you think of any of those values, such as resilience, as one of those characteristics which you might be described as? Now, resilience is the characteristic of being able to adapt to stressful changes, or maybe more commonly paraphrased as being able to bounce back from something that has happened in your life. Resilience is a response to tragedy or crisis or maybe life-altering changes that allows us to move on despite something happening to us. Showing resilience does not mean that a person is unaffected or uncaring about their life experience, but being able to refuse to not give up on themselves or someone else. Even after misfortune, they still strive to overcome that little blip or challenge in their life. In the Old Testament, Job demonstrated that great resilience in his faith towards trusting in God. Could you come with me now to Job chapter 1, please? We'll have a short, quick look at Job and his character. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1 and verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were ploughing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. They have been slain, the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the fire of God is falling from heaven, and hath burned and put up the sheep, and the servants and consumed them, and I am only escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, thy sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So in that short reading, we've had a quick snippet into Job and what's happened in his life. Here we can see examples of him pretty much losing everything in his life. Yet, at the end of that short reading, it says that Job refused to blame God or give up worshipping him. In verse 22, for example, it says, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. So he's not blaming God. How many times in our life have we had something in our life happen to us out of the blue and everyone else's fault apart from our own? Even after losing his family, his animals, his servants, and even when suffering intensified with his health, even Job's wife said to him in chapter 2, verse 9, to curse God and die. Almost blame God and he'll strike you down. There's nothing else left for you, Job. But Job still would not even consider such a thing. Still didn't blame God. Despite his suffering, Job knew that God was in control. And that knowledge helped him maintain his resilience to be able to bounce back. If we were to go to Isaiah 64, verse 8, it says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are potter, and all of us are the work of your hand. From this, we can see that God is constantly moulding us day by day, and with that, we must trust the Lord God, that he knows what is best for us, no matter how hard we feel it is. How many of us will attempt something, fail, and then just give up and leave it and not come back to it again? Well, let's take comfort that God does not show this character with us. That characteristic in God is never ever seen. He will never allow us to fail and fail and fail again if we are truly seeking him. God is constantly moulding us. And as that potter and we are that clay, after one mistake, a potter does not just throw the clay away, does he? He works with it and moulds it, and that's like us, isn't it? He's working with us day by day, and no matter what happens, then we would be in deep trouble in that day if God was to just throw away the clay. However, he works with us each day by day, and we must take comfort for that every single day, through the good times and also the bad times. We must be thankful, because in those moments, God is moulding us. He's shaping our hearts and our minds into someone he thinks who could serve him in the kingdom. Although we will not be perfect at this side of the kingdom, we must be like Job in being resilient. Everything that happens in our life, we must take it on board and not blame God, but to try our best to either do better the next time or try not to let affect our life in the future. As ultimately, God knows what's best for us. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will help thee and with the right hand of my righteousness. Therefore, even though we may be worried, scared, even questionable to why these things occur to us, we must remember the words in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, which says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto our own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, that he shall direct thy paths. Furthermore, we see that God, from those bits of scripture, directs us on our paths to that kingdom, if it's through his will. It will not be a straight path due to our human error, but we must stay resilient and not give up, as whatever God has planned for us, it will benefit us in the future if we trust in him. Another example of resilience in the Old Testament scripture is Genesis 37 to 45, which is the account of Joseph. If you'll come with me there quickly, please. Genesis chapter 37. Although we won't read all these chapters, I was more putting this as a reference point for you to go back to maybe and look into it. Would this be the account of Joseph? You might be sat there thinking, well, how did Joseph show resilience? Well, I think Joseph shows resilience is a great example of being able to show love towards God and others continually, no matter what happens to him. If we had the time, we could go through the whole account and see how Joseph was despised by his brothers, hated was probably the word, ultimately because they were jealous of his relationship with his father, Jacob. We could read through and see how he told his family of dreams, which he had. Yet the brothers still did not like this. And more, eventually, they got hated. The hateful almost hit the roof, and Joseph's brothers eventually planned to kill him, throw him down a well, and ultimately sell him as a slave. Moving through his life a whole 20 years across the account of these chapters, Joseph encounters all sorts of events where he continually shows good character and trusts in the Lord God because of his resilience. If we move forward now to quickly to Genesis chapter 42, again in your own time, please read these chapters, as Joseph is definitely one of my favourite characters in the Bible. In chapter 42, we will see the account where Joseph's brothers come down into Egypt looking to buy food due to the famine back in their land in Canaan. Around 20 years has passed by between the point of chapter 37 and chapter 42. The last thing Joseph would have seen of his brothers was them tearing off a coat, throwing him down a well, picking him back up and selling him as a slave. Now, and then back in 42, we'll see that he's now in second in command in Egypt to, in theory, the most powerful man on earth, because God has put him there. Over those 20 years, Joseph could have easily become resentful and hateful towards his brothers, very easily, because of what they had done to him. Yet, after 20 years, Joseph did not allow these events in his life to lead him down an evil path, but instead make each event in his life an opportunity to reflect God's character in his actions and words for all who he met throughout these chapters. He never once thought he doesn't deserve it, or blame life on someone else for what is happening to him. But across his life, he was patient enough through all of this resilience of love towards God, who had guided him throughout his life, to provide a lesson of love, forgiveness to his brothers and to others around him. Again, how many of us in this room could honestly say we'll be able to forgive people who had either beaten us up, tried to kill us, or even sell us as slaves? Whilst Joseph did not deserve this treatment from his brothers, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, if you'll turn there quickly, please. It says, "There hath no temptation take hold of you, but such as a common man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear, but with the temptation will also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." So here we see that God will not put anything into our lives which we cannot overcome. Think back to your past week we've just had, from Sunday to Sunday. Think of something you may have got wrong, or made a mistake, with maybe saying or doing something which you know, hand on heart, is wrong. God knows that you can do better, that we can all do better. God knows we can learn from that mistake. So take comfort that from whatever happens in our lives, God is there to love us and support us. And that will be a key point for this morning. Paul, in the New Testament, showed great resilience after his life-altering encounter with Jesus in Acts chapter 9, when he was almost transformed from a Christian killer to a preacher of a gospel message. At that time, many were not happy with his message. Come with me to a couple of chapters on to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned. Thrice I was suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak, and I am not weak, who is offended, and I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed for evermore, knoweth that I lie not. So from that small piece of reading there, we see that Paul was beaten, stoned, criticised, jailed, and nearly killed many occasions. One incident especially shows Paul's exceptional resilience. In Lystra, he was stoned and dragged out the city or the town in Acts chapter 14. His missionary continued relentlessly for the love of God in which he had. From this, we see that resilience in loving and wanting to serve God enables us. Because although almost he was stoned and left for dead, he got up, didn't let it faze him, and carried on his job, which is preaching the gospel message. Now in Dudley, we do not currently suffer those things which Paul suffered because of our preaching the gospel message. We've got it quite good. But if the laws change in this world, and we heard that other ecclesias around the country were suffering these things because of their preaching, would we be resilient enough to keep going with what we know God wants from us in preaching that gospel message? Or would we take the easier option and stay quiet and just give up because, oh, what's the point? I don't want any harm to come to me. Linking this example of Paul to being resilient to serve God, for those of us at the youth weekend last week, you'd have known that Luke set us a task to put the 9 fruits of the Spirit into our lives. And it was only coming back to Wednesday I realised I hadn't done this at all. I'd set myself tasks of which to do, what I was going to do. I was meant to text Sarah and say, have you done it also? And I failed to do that as well. Now I must admit that I've clearly failed Luke's task which he set us. But from this morning we're considering, hopefully we can see that God knows we're going to fail. He knows we're going to make mistakes. And of course he knows we're going to get distracted. We fail God each and every day because of our sinful ways. Yet this does not mean that we just say, oh well, I've sinned, I might as well pack it in and not even bother serving God anymore. Instead, we should be committed to rectifying our lives and focus on how we should be best serving God, being resilient and not just give up, but bounce back time and time after again and keep asking for God for his love and support, that we may overcome a particular sin maybe, or that we may help us through a tough time, like we have seen examples already this morning. Proverbs chapter 24, you don't have to turn there. It says, though the righteous fall 7 times, they rise again, but the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. From this we see that God knows we will fall, he knows we will stumble, yet let's take comfort from Psalm 37, which it says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So from that we see that God knows we are going to fail, yet he's got his hand there to help us when we do start to fall. He's going to support us in every way possible. Yet he wants us to be humble enough to accept when we do need help, that we should press on, overcome our hardship and temptations, and persevere and face our trials. In James chapter 1 it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Therefore we can turn to him and be resilient, enough to work on our character, to ultimately to glorify his name. One enemy of resilience is the assumption that we know what's best for ourselves. We know how the story is going to end. When a situation seems out of control or does not appear to be heading in the direction we want it to be, we tend to write the end over the story, just leave it in one side. We think that's it, that's the final result. What else can happen? Then we almost think that instead of exercising our resilience and trying again and working on it, we give up and just take matters into our own hands. We've already looked at Proverbs and it says it is a good passage to trust in the Lord God with all our heart. We've read that. And we need to not lean on our own understanding, but trust and ask for God's help and guidance. And we must acknowledge he shall direct our path. This links to us our last example this morning of Jesus. Jesus showed ultimate resilience with his disciples, especially Peter, trying over and over again to get him and the rest of the disciples to understand his purpose on the earth at that time and in for the future. Jesus seeks a friendship with Peter, but is a particular shape to inevitably defined by the fact that Jesus is the master and Peter is the disciple. Jesus prophetically calls Peter to a new way of life and is a living fisher of men. That's what he wanted him to do. It is significant that Jesus tells Peter of his new role so early in the master's discipleship. He wants Peter to be clear, ultimately, of what he wants from him in the future. So he has an aim. He's aiming for something. Given that Jesus gives Peter a unique role, we might also expect to see him giving particular attention to Peter as his character development as a disciple. And there are hints of that in the Gospel accounts. Peter is almost within an inner circle with James and John, where they singled out to spend extra time with Jesus and are even given privileges, such as seeing the raising of the synagogue ruler's daughter from the dead, witnessing the transfiguration, and even keeping watch with Jesus in Gethsemane. A crucial moment in their friendship between Jesus and Peter is Peter's confession. Luke often shows Jesus in prayer at key points, including prior to Peter's confession in Matthew chapter 16. It's an implication that Jesus' prayers are answered in some way. Jesus has prayed to his Father and has asked for Peter to have an insight and understanding of him. However, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, when Peter presumes to take that Jesus one side to rebuke him for talking of dying, Jesus' response is sharp and immediate. "Get behind me, Satan." This is another example of Jesus' resilience with Peter. Because it could have been easy for Jesus to say, "Peter, forget about it. You don't understand. I'm going to replace you with someone else. You just don't listen. You think it's what you think is right." Yet he didn't, did he? Instead, Jesus knows Peter needs to accept him, and the words of authority is he to become the rock of the fisher of men. He's gave him that aim. Jesus' resilience of Peter's failing continues to work and explain and show Peter that God's will must be done and not his own. At this point, we can say that Peter's character is being moulded by Jesus, as we can see the extent of the change that takes place in Peter, eventually, which he submits to God, and no longer seeks his own glory, but God's. Whilst all of Jesus' interactions with Peter can be understood as being loving and motivated by Peter's best interests, a few insights by the Gospel writers show us a depth of his concern. Jesus' prediction of Peter's denial is one example of this. At the time it was given, it was clearly dispirited and concerned Peter and the other disciples. However, Peter would not have reassured that, although Jesus knew in advance of his denial. It did not disqualify Peter from a friendship with Jesus or position as a disciple, but Jesus continues to show unconditional love to a man he knows will deny him three times. All of Peter's progress, well, Simon's progress to becoming Peter, could have been knocked back in that one incident of denying Christ. However, Jesus showed resilience in loving Peter no matter what it was. And in John chapter 1, he takes the time to take Jesus to the side, Peter does, and they have a conversation and to reinstate Peter and demonstrate his forgiveness in him. Although Peter is hurt by Jesus by asking him if he loves him three times, Jesus gently forces a declaration of his love that mirrors that denial. Furthermore, the repetition requires Peter to declare, Lord, you know all things, and throw himself and reliance back on Jesus. Rather than the previous episode, which we looked at, where Peter has demonstrated desire of excessive claims of loyalty, here he keeps the declaration simple and he asks Jesus to weigh his words. Therefore, from this, we can see that Peter has been moulded in Peter's character, has been moulded to improve his relationship with Jesus and ultimately God. This would not have occurred if Jesus had not been resilient with Peter across his ministry. So with that brief overview, we can see how his friendship with Jesus, with Peter, brought about a dramatic character change in Simon, or who later called Peter. Moulded by the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of God, excuse me, from a rash-thinking, excessive man to a thoughtful and loving man. Without the Lord Jesus being resilient in working with this disciple, and in this case Peter, these men would not have been ready to go and preach the gospel message when Jesus ascended to heaven. But how relevant has that theme of resilience been this morning? A characteristic that God shows and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If they were not resilient with us, with our failings, then we would have no hope, would we? The fact that we have been given this opportunity this morning shows how resilient our God is towards us, as ultimately we didn't even deserve to wake up this morning. But no matter where we have fallen short this week, we must all now show resilience in trying to grow our relationship with God and ultimately try harder to mirror his perfect character, ultimately shown by Jesus Christ on the earth. We should strive to show this each and every day throughout our lives. But again, as we've said, because of our sinful ways, we will fail again. Therefore, if we show resilience for when we do fail, no matter how many times we fail or we repeatedly fail in the same way, as long as we do not give up or trying to improve ourselves, then this is what God wants. People who love him and want to bring glory to his name through their words and their actions. So when we looked at the potter in Isaiah 64 earlier on, it did not say how the potter throws the clay on the desk and it goes into this beautiful shape of a pot. It spoke about how over time the potter works with the bowl and moulds it into a shape he wants. Well, how relevant has that theme been, brothers and sisters and trusted friends? God didn't just create us into the person he wants us to be straight away. He's moulding us and preparing us over our time and our lives every day. Preparing us and wants through the good and the bad times, which both we should be thankful for. God again showing resilience with each and every one of us when we do go wrong. God continues to show this characteristic throughout our lives. And hopefully, if it's by his grace and mercy, we'll be given a chance to be made whole and one with him in that kingdom when his son is sent to this earth. Yet until that time, we must trust in God, that he knows what is best for us, and be thankful that he does know what's best for us, because as humans, we'll get it wrong most times. So we must ensure that although we trust in God with all things, we must make an effort to glorify and thank him for that. So as we bring our thoughts to a close, let us rejoice in the fact that we have an opportunity again this morning to reflect upon our past week, that we can look forward to that age come when the Lord Jesus, who we remember now in the symbols of bread and wine, that he will come and set up that kingdom, and we pray to be a part of that. So the next time we feel we cannot do something, or there is no hope to complete that task in our lives, let us pray about it first. Let us be resilient in our faith, show trust and love in God, that he may guide us to that point in our lives that we may become closer to him and ultimately glorify his name. Again, even when we do make our mistakes or go astray from what God wants, he will always be resilient in loving us, forgiving us and moulding us until the day which he sends his son to set up that kingdom, of which we pray to be soon.
Thank Josh for his helpful words, and he has brought us to these emblems that we might remind ourselves once again of the love that the Lord Jesus showed for those who were his, and for the joy that was before him. He was able always to dedicate his life in that perfect service to his Heavenly Father. Before we break this bread and partake of it, I'll ask Brother Michael, please, to give us the lead us in thanks.
Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for the exhortation that we have received from your wonderful word of life, reminding us of your great patience with us, though you have instructed us in the way that we should go. You have given us the Lord Jesus Christ as a perfect example. You have given us a hope of those wonderful things that you have prepared for us in your kingdom. Despite these things, on a day-to-day basis, we so often fall short and wander away from your purpose. So we thank you that you love us so much that you don't discard us, but through your work of the Lord Jesus Christ, through your love and through his love, we have that constant knowledge that if we turn to you seeking forgiveness, if we look to your word to try to live a better life as best we're able day by day, that your love is unending, and so is the love of the Lord. And we now remember how, despite all the difficulties that he faced, despite knowing that every animal sacrifice that had ever been made pointed forward to him and that which he had to do, yet he never complained, but he rejoiced in the role you'd given him and allowed himself to suffer, his body to be given, so that we can now have that relationship with you that you so desire and that we should desire. So we thank you for all things, and we thank you especially now for this bread. In Jesus' name, amen.
And our thanks for the cup symbolizing the poured out blood of the Lord Jesus will be offered through the prayer of the poor, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this opportunity this morning to meet together and to read your word and be exhorted from it. We thank you for the examples of it, your love toward us, and considering from its pages that love. But Father, we particularly thank you now that you not only know us and love us so great, but that you know our weaknesses, and that you know that we need to be able to remember. We need something tangible. And we thank you, Father, that before Jesus, before he gave his life, he took the bread and the wine, and these symbols that represent to us his given body, and the wine, a simple thing, but Father, a tangible object to help us to remember. And we thank you now that we can pass it from hand to hand, and we pray that as we do, we will keep our minds focused on thanking you for the love you've expressed towards us in providing a covering for our sinfulness. We ask these blessings through our Saviour's name, Jesus. Amen.